My name is Sonia, club members. On Friday, March 15th, John Bruton, Prime Minister of Governors, Tommy Thompson, Bob Miller of the Governors Association, transcripts are available. If you have any questions for us, write them on the I will ask it called. Ramesh Shon, Times of India, Knight Ritter, Karen Tumulti, Time Magazine, Gil Clyde, Donald Hardy, Senator Simps, David Beter, Freelance Journal, Senator Bob, Press Club, Spinchin, The Hill, Paul Mac. Who says we need a record? Alan Simpson, others like Sam Nunn, prior of our poll. Parting senator, the trend away from at 6'7" tallest senator to be the tall, said that one of the only times straightened up from was to prove taller than Brad. Simpson says he slumps, but he has no tallest man in when he was working immigration. 6, an opponent suggested the law might lead to establishment of a card to determine who could work dates. But Senator Simpson squashed that idea. Employers, he announced, have to examine the identity, but also of bald, Anglo, skinny guys. Simpson once remarked to him, someone once remarked to Senator Simpson that person felt short, horizontally disadvantaged around the senator, upon which Mr. Simpson remarked that he would put into his glossary of how to be politically correct because he had failed most of those. He has not been shocked criticizing the fourth date. Journalists still remember calling Peter Arnett of CNN a sympathizer of a during the Persian Gulf War, and his dust-off Nina Totenberg of Public Radio over the Anita Clarence Thomas nomination court. But even his critics respect his honesty, ability to reach out to members across party lines. Senator Simpson has worked with Senator Bob Kerrey of Nebraska, who, I must say, usually we don't have Democrats coming to sit at the head table before the National Press Club, and it's kind of a reflection of Senator Simpson, the esteem in which Senator Simpson is held. And they work together to fix problems with the Social Security system. Senator Simpson has said they do not want to lead our children to unrealistic scenarios. The Simpsons know something about members of that practicing law in Wyoming for 100 years. The senator's father was a governor, and it was the senator's popular father, Millward, called Wyoming high altitude. The multitude of can-do lawmakers will be lower. Retirement of ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Press Club. Senator Allen, Wyoming.
Podium, eh? Needed one of those years. I want to tell you that Totenberg and I wept, if you're clearly on record. It is a pleasure to be always a great honor and a nice surprise because the last time they cold day and Lily Spandorf told me that she just to see me, there she is. You wouldn't have come out on a bitter day like she's going to sketch me and love it. No, we're. But, and then of course, speaking of weather, it was so cold and shy and they saw a lawyer going. Had enough? No, I'm going to give you I've got a lot of mileage. Cody, Wyoming, my hometown at the Irma Hotel, named after Buffalo Bills. Got my grubs on, cowboy hat, boots, puts me about 6'10", and paying the bill. The guy comes up, it's kind of mad, don't it? There's a lot of that out there in our line of work, especially my line of work. And Ann is here with Classy, 42 years, say that in politics. A lot of people vote for her. Well, I wouldn't vote for that jerk for anything, but I'd vote for her. But this is my rock and refuge, a woman. Don Hardy, my chief of staff, known since he boy and kid and Cody, always there. He was once one of you. Reporter and then in television's press secretary earlier times. Tad Siegel, my secretary, is here and crew that are here. Paul Burgess and Dull and Chris Spear and Lori Rosen controls my life. And then, of course, think of what Tad has to go as a press secretary. Fine young man. What did he mean when he goofy as a peach orchard borer? And then he has to construct that and tell them what a peach orchard borer is, quite a thing, and what this particular thing is that goes trees, corkscrewing, I'm sorry. And that's a peach orchard borer, and I'll talk to you later about it. And then, of course, my Democratic sidekick on solvency to the Social Security system. A gutsy companion, bright, energetic chap, is on many fronts, is well known. A very fine friend, pleased he could cover it. State of Nebraska, Kerry. So, now as I wind down, an 18-year reminded me of father in a statement he made. Said, he came up to, have you lived here, Cody, all your not yet? We are retiring, but that's only from the Senate. We are going to do, are excited, we know not is, but include a little bit. So I thought I would share just a few thoughts, and then you know what you're going to got those questions. Yeah, sign your name. Oh, you don't have to sign your name. First would be a reflection that we have loved it all. Sure, ups and downs, but always ups. That's certainty. Second, there is so much to do, and there is still time to do it. And third, the toughest problems are addressed at leadership anywhere. And the big one is, of course, the big one, entitlement reform. We all talk about it day and night. Biggest of the juggernaut untouched, and in that entitlements is a thing that's $3 billion and smoking up this economy called the Social Security system. And we don't touch it. You're not supposed to touch it. You're not supposed to adjust the benefits. You're not the COLAs. You're not supposed to do anything. COLAs just go out to people regardless of their... So I was on the Entitlements Commission. I think it has been a curse that Bob Kerry and forth, because like the man that learned too much. And then you learn too much and you think your own children, where are they? What are they thinking? So we all know, trustees know, mission knew, president knows, Congress knows, that the system, Social Security system, is bow wows, 2012, that's just 16 years. It will be broke, 2029, doomsday day company, Blue Ribbon Commission, put together the structure to save it, in 82, said that it was thus saved until 3, it is thus saved the year 2025. Think about it, these are all in the statistics, irrefutable. Disability insurance will go broke in the year 2016. Medicare will go broke in 2002, and now may 2001, with the latest distressing figure 6 years away, 5. And, of course, if the evil Republicans do what we say, we breaking ketchup bottles over the children in interiors in schools and busting bedpans in citizens' homes and tossing veterans off the top of the VA hospital, if we do this, I can assure you then Medicare will not go broke. It will go broke in the year 2010. What a bargain. It's where we are. All these systems are on automatic pilot. We're trying to save up 6.4% instead of 10.5%. Does anybody think if we get that done, they'll gather together and say, now let's let it go up only 2% a year? Get it. You've just built in 6.4 to eternity. Tough to do. But try this one on, because if you, in your remarkable position, can't get this across to America, you fail too, not just us. Pick this one, about a 2-minute drill. Don't let Part B premiums on Medicare, totally voluntary. You don't have to join. You do, though, because it includes physician services, reimbursement there, availability services, physical therapy, durable goods. Not like Part A. Part A comes out of your check, part of the contract. Drew, we can... So you have Part B, which is voluntary. The beneficiary, regardless of their net, is paying only 31.5% premium. Originally, you remember, supposed to pay 50%. But politicians are smart. That, so curry that senior vote over the years. They learned how to make the beneficiary pay less. So instead of paying 50%, pay 31.5%, always lowering it. And now it would go back to 25% the first of the year, 31.5% by an automatic kick-in. It's longer, 30 more seconds. And we said no. It must stay at 31.5%, or it's an unsustainable program. And the president says, we can't do that to the seniors. We'll let it go back to 25% first of the year. And so, ladies and gentlemen, first of the year, back about $42 a month, the figure, coming down from $47 a month. And we closed the government because of that one. $6 or $7 a month was one of the reasons. The saddest part of it all, that it is now at 25%, $42, as of January 1st. People must look at that and just scratch their heads. I think they're talking about this doomsday, and my Part B premium went $6 a month. And the saddest part of it is the good folks who staff this fine facility, the bartenders, the waiters, the janitors, are paying 75% of that, some of the wealthiest people in America, all over America. If there is any sense or fairness in that, please do share it. Questions, inclusion of this remarkable event. How's that for fair? It's stupefying. And we're going to try to means test that, affluence test it, we call it. And who was raising the most hell about that while we were doing? The AARP, 33, and auto discounts and pharmacy discounts. They raised holy hell about that $7 or $6 a month raise, those premiums. Guess what? While they were doing that, they raised their own AARP gap policies $31 a month. Hear that? This is a group you want to stay away. They distort the issue, and they're tough. Tougher than a boy. And remember what they've got at Hill. They're $314 million. They make $106 million a year on Medigap policies at Prudential. They lease a building downtown for 720-year lease. They settled a case with the Postal Service because they were shipping out their policy of flyers on nonprofit, and they settled $36 million. And there they are, tough, tough folks. Since I rant about them, and I hope now quickly, I'm watching the clock here. I didn't have all these questions. Social Security, oh, it's always a tough one. Town meetings. I said, I'll take a final question from the gray-haired gentleman in the back. I'd rather have my hair turn gray than turn loose. Sick thing. And especially for those of us who are hearing impaired. And so you have to listen to that, and they'll say, I put in it from the, you get it, you jerks, you're all doing the same. You and Carrie, that's who it, I know who he is. And then you tell them, well, if you did, sir, put in it from the beginning, I guess I have to go review. If you did, then the first 8 years, remember, put in not more than $30. And then for the next 18 years, you never put in over $174, ladies. Nobody did. Then you got mail, 300 a year, 800 a year, 900 into the 50s, 2,000 finally up. And I'm paying, I guess, about $5,000 a year, you know, in Social Security. But when I practiced law in Cody, Wyoming, for 18 years, put in over $800 a year, and neither did anybody 64 years. And they're going to knock out of that system. I will. If I retire at 65, I'll get $1,100. If I wait till 70, I get $1,550 a month. Of course, it can't work. 16 people, freshmen. 16 people were paying into the system, and one taking. Today, there are three people paying into the 3.3, and in 20 years, there will be paying in. And one. Everybody knows this. You know it. The trustees are the ones telling us, and who are they? Robert Reich, Donna Shalala. We know it. You know it. Just rattle along. So Carrie and I are up to tricks here, but they're not tricks, because what we're going to do, 8 bills. 7 of them are to increase the retirement age course of 20 years. Take it to 70, 65, over 2 month increments. Adjust the cost of living allowance. Our proposal, we think of alternatives presently that we lowest 30 percentile of people full COLA. Those are the people who need it the most, and nobody else gets over a dollar amount, period. Then you reduce the CPI, the Consumer Price Index. Every witness has said we completely overstated by 0.075 to 2.2. And we, if we corrected that by 1% over 10 years, it would be $600 billion reduction. And then we propose a personal investment plan. Instead of putting in 6.2%, put in 4.2%, and the other 2% goes into your personal. And you get to put it in high risk, low risk, like thrift plan, or mutual funds, stocks, in your heirs. That's a proposal. Federal retirement, including our own, changing the accrual rate, all those things. 30-year budgeting projections so they don't keep fooling the intergenerational gimmickry. I will have several hearings, and come, it will look like a bowling alley. There won't be anybody in there. Kerry will come, and he'll, Cador and his staff will grab his arm and say, don't go in there, Bob. It's Simpson. He's doing Social Security, and he will just push them aside, and he will come in. Dear John Brohl will come, and they'll grab him by the arm. Go in there. And he'll come in, and we'll talk about it. Nobody over 60 will be at the witness table. We've heard from them. Everybody has heard from them. And we will see what the young people say. And one asked me to cry, who speaks for us? I said, why don't you speak for yourselves? We gave you the right to vote when you were 8. Use it. And if you don't get off your can, before, you'll be picking grit with the chickens. Can't you understand? Well, they don't know what grit is. But they knew that I was close there. And so... Those are some things that other things, immigration, never. It's an issue filled with emotion, fear, guilt, and racism. Still that way. Yesterday we heard about the poor and the civil rights and human rights, tattoos and Nazi Germany and everything. And the Statue of Liberty. I got to do my grandfather came here with his parents from Holland. The word, obviously, child, at that. And they died and left orphan at the age of 6, just wandering around, and he went to work. He owned the coal mine. And those are the things we can all, what this is about. The Statue of Liberty doesn't send us everybody got, legally or illegally. And it certainly doesn't say that you don't, somehow you're on the slippery slope when you do a verification process to find out who should be here receiving benefits. So that will be a good one. Card, I have a remarkable thing, too. Barcode, actually. Barcode. It says Simpson Smith on. And meanwhile, guess what? Every one of you who fly have been asked at curb by the baggage handler, picture ID. Editorial about that yet? When will somebody write an editorial about how evil it is? Somebody who isn't even government is asking you for a picture ID as you check your bags. Slippery slope. That phony. Real problems, real gimmickry. Here's my card. Enable me to vote in Turlock, California. Phony as can be. Here's a phony Social Security card. I'm building. Get a passport for $750. What do you want to do? Can't just talk the good play. The talking is over. And finally, as for us, cited, we're going to go to Kennedy School to teach there. Be shocked. You can see them lining up now. Oh, no. We will be there for a spring semester at Harvard with an office in the Shorenstein Center. Marvin Taub, remarkable, and saved me from... And I am now preparing a syllabus. I didn't know what that was, but I am preparing it, and it's really quite a remarkable. But I will not be doing any lobbying. I will never come back to Bob Kerry except socially. Never go and shake the tin cup in front of the Relations Committee. I'll be doing speaking, trust with an all the things that appropriate. And I'm going to talk to young people off their dumb people between 18 and 45 can't figure out what's happening to them. Well, I bet you pay a little more. And then finally, I have a book. I was asked to write a book about the media First Amendment company. That particular project is concluded. It's very difficult. And don't worry, there's nothing about curbing or restricting or limit for. It's just more colorfully said. And fun, too. Arduous job. I admire you all. Right. Said to me, wonderful work, great anecdote. So they got a reporter to help me to tighten the book. tore it to shreds. And so, however, it is in their hands. And so these have been spirited years, you especially, tried to give as good as I ought. And I always kept a singular promise. When after your butt answer phone, I have always been excessive being fricassee. Continue to do that. Urge any politician to do that. So there's much to do to bring up our two fine professions. When you leave here black by the elevator building, Walter Williams, it probably make laugh. It certainly make at its honesty, its naive quest for truth, its praise of the discussion of patriotism, precious, precious privacy. I've read it a lot of times. Say, while some of you may laugh, the public cries, ours, both of us. When politicians... Media people, absolute low esteem, democracy suffers greatly. And know we can do better, will, we should. We're part of that, a different forum, different arena, high regard, wonderful knowledge of the yeast of give and take and the First Amendment for one of us. Not just some who pull the tattered cloak of it or huddle out in all of us. So with that, I'm prepared to, as St. Sebastian, just stand and let the arrows pass through my chest, because it is the Ides of March. Oh, my God, we wouldn't want to talk about that. Anyway, thank you very much.
Moderate senator, press doesn't like the good fight.
No, when I came moderate, a guy from Wyoming, conservative. See, I always flunked the same test there. I've always pro-choice, quite fit the mold. In fact, I don't know, no one ever applauds when I'm doing that. In fact, I don't even think men should vote on the issue the way I've always felt. Now, while you were clapping, I will call the baby killer when I get home. And that's part of the problem here in the extremists. But I'm proud to be called a moderate. Let me tell you, don't read any retirements. This is the class that was the largest class in the history of the U.S. Senate. Class of 70, 20 brand new people, 11 Republicans and 9 Democrats. Wheel is usually about the 18th year. Mac Mathias, great ones that I think of who just step away. Acoff. And so it's just our time. None of us won't work. Every time the senator imps out, the people fall in, fill it from the left, right, because they're exposed then. They can do their garble and hoorah while somebody's doing the heavy lifting in the middle. When those leave the middle, they sober up.
Nonetheless, danger.
I think it's so much in the Senate. Bob works with, we've had things, I don't understand, reported. We had a coup, Cohen and Levin, lobbying bill, Wellstone, and all the time. All you read about is gridlock. Bipartisan welfare reform, I just think that's a distortion. I think it's a lot of legislation, but the House is a different situation. Abuses of force, pressure of one.
Is there any chance?
Well, there is a bipartisan group, John Chay IV, in that talking about how to split the difference, how to get there. We're close. We don't be talking about the guts of it. Paid go up, Part B premium. What are you going to do? All of it. But remember, where we're headed is that right now, Bob Kerry and I don't vote two-thirds of the budget. We don't cast two-thirds of the budget. All built in, goes out, regardless of very little of it. So guess who's going to take the hits? The hits will come on the discretionary program. That'll be education, defense, transportation, Head Start, NEA, NEH, all the things you care about will be hacked. Hack the other. And answer your question, but I got, and remember, oh, another one, the AARP has a solution for all this. Raise the payroll tax. How's that for a gen? They don't pay that. That's why they suggest that we should do that. Get equal.
What mistakes have the leadership in mind?
The biggest mistake, build up expect too high. And then to remember, cannot bipartisan do that. And yet, the sting of the lash, so long that they, when they got there, they must do that. I take just not be able to hide. I do think this. I think they're trying mightily, and it comes. People realize, like what they did not, that's what people are. They said they would do 10 things. How do you complain about that in an era of cynicism? They did. We haven't got it passed. The surprising thing, to, and I think to Bob too, is to watch the conference committee of one party that don't seem to move. In fact, it was more fun doing a conference committee, John Dingell or Jack Brooks, or people move it faster. Republicans are able to move in their own conference with power and majority. I don't know. Line item veto. Did they think that Bill Clinton wouldn't be the president when they did line item veto? Or that he wouldn't use it? Of course he will. Give it. Do it. Get it done.
Why have congressional Republicans armed?
Well, I think, again, first of the contract they got into, endangered species, wetland, clean water, and clean that in the vigor, they touched the holy of holies and creamed. And let me tell you, ladies, you do need to do Species Act, do have to do delist, and it is. Do something about wetland, or it's a wetland, so you can't use it. You do have to do Superfund, called Superfund right now, and ask this administration how much time they've spent cleaning up sites rather than whacking on Republicans. Superfund doesn't work. It goes to lawyers and clinicians and people running around in rubber suits, and it works. We ought to make it work. And if Republicans can't get that story told, they're not evil and ugly. We have a very good group of people, very active in the Clean Air Act. George Mitchell, John Chafee, very fine bipartisan. So that's a bum rap. But
Gingrich in the contract with polarization care.
No, but I'm not even jesting that they do come around, Bob. And they come up and they say, boy, you guys are on track. Boy, for you. And they just take off out the door. And Social Security won't get dealt with. What was part, though? I tell you, there's a greater threat than listen to it in 30 seconds. If everything we're trying fails, and the partisan statement, we're going to help, and I don't have done this to them, called it's politics. It's been going on for 207 years. Congress has only been here that long. And it's from 1780. And I'll tell you what, if all of this fails, and on November they pitch us out in the street, droves. I can tell you there's a bigger odds and stakes here. It will mean that no one will touch these issues for another 5 or 10 years. Politicians know this better than any. Tropic health care, if we damn thing, we wouldn't be grappling with it, but it was killed off. And if this all fails and we can't begin to slow the growth, these huge programs and the entitlements, and everybody's pitched out, I can tell you I know the people that practice our craft. And they will not touch, then it's too late. I've given you the figures and the claim too late if you can't start now in some all way.
What happened in 1985?
Bottom, Dave. Let me tell you what happened. Just in essence, what I just said, that vote was 50 to 40. One Democrat held Nebraska. And then at the 86 election, six of our people were on the basis of a very simple ad campaign. This is the slob that cuts your Social Security. This is the slob that cut your veterans benefit. This is the slob that took your, this is the slob that cut you added history. So again, we said, ooh, watch out for that. But worst one was is Ronald Reagan, God bless him. 10 days after we did that vote, said we can't do that to the senior, to him. They'll tell you that there are no fingerprints, plenty of fingerpotamus paw. And so there they are, and did it, and the president pulled away, and the sad thing, because we abolished 13E, cola freeze. And it all was for naught because, and then lost in the next election, so we did touch that again for years and years.
Are you at all here?
Official line of the AAP, that welfare, but hear me. We're not talking about means test benefits, sortion that goes. Nobody is talking about affluence testing benefits, except the Congress. And so we're talking about, call it affluence, COLAs, cost of living allowance. So you see how hard it is to get, because all we'll hear in the jerks are out to affluence test, Social Security, not one. And even if we means test the COLAs, it's sparrow belch in the middle of the moon. We won't get much out of it at all. But we have to do big stuff. And eventually, we will have to say, either you lower the benefits or raise payroll tax, can't do it any other hope than at that. We will have to, benefits, nobody is suggesting.
More serious.
I loved it. They said, Simpson is intimidating us. I said, who, me? I mean, they can dismember you. In fact, when they bring the wild president of the 33 vote, at which time you're supposed to pitch forward on your head into your carpet and crawl out of there on your hands and knees, flogging yourself and hoping to God. I mean, it's absolutely appalling. And so I have visited with their board, and I said, I'm down here all by myself, no staff, and I don't peep out of yours, not one peep out of your legislature, this guy. And I want to ask you if your grandparents, you all are, you care a damn about your grandchildren. Well, sure, we'd wake up and get in the game. And then it was a discussion. And I will go back, and I'll meet them in any forum, anywhere, anytime.
Have you ever considered that Social Security provide more people?
I've got to go to the, obviously that's written by some. They are the singular media outlet lost in the swamps. They favor an open border. Now, if you want an open border, you're joining a throng of about 5% of America. And if you want to do that, you press the wages, living condition of people in ways. And I guess I've always thought that that pitch was really one where it was kind of like, this is America, Statue of Liberty beacon. Send us people, regardless of their legality or illegality. We'll work them and pay them about $1.50 an hour, and when payday comes, call the iron, root it out. I think that's called it that. You can't do things for America, control your borders. That's the duty of a sovereign nation. And I'm talking about, pardon the expression, there is a common flag, common language, public culture. I'm talking about private culture. If you go home at night, great eel, but by God, you are a U.S. American citizen, public culture. Is America. Guess who was saying Woodrow Wilson? And so we get into all the other flack, but you can't. You can open border and say it just because they're going to come. Go to Chinatown and hang around Hong Kong or somewhere you never dreamed you were. And guess what? Those people are being exploited beautifully. They don't even know the city they're in, the language they fly, except they're in America. It's not my idea of what it is. So here we go and see whether it's nativist, race, dream. I hope not. I see also whether open borders will greater country tree.
Why hasn't the 1984?
The reason, who did that? Who put that in? The reason the 86 Act didn't work, this is me. This was picked up on the corner of East L.A. Here's a fake Social Security card. Here's a fake California identification card. All the vital statistics are correct. This would enable food stamps to vote. Now, if you can't understand what's happening to your country, the reason the 86 Act failed is that there is huge, big business in these. And as long as these are rampant through a country, nothing corrected. That's why you have to have fire, maybe a slide through. Anyway, Ted Kennedy Amendment, which will pilot programs. The reason it didn't work, because employers have to look at too many cards they charge with discrimination. They don't know the difference. Get to something. Employer feels comfortable. Employee feels comfortable. Legal.
To farm interests in California.
Trouble with guest worker programs, they come as guests and they're human beings. You don't want to do it to them because they have their children and spouses. So it doesn't work, and I came from a county where they had the Bracero program, Park County Wing, the sugar beet, and I was just old enough for Operation Wetback. Took them back across the border, ran them back across the border when we went through a slump, and that's exactly what will happen. To me, the growers are in no way ever provided enough. We gave them special agricultural workers, placement agricultural workers, filled out forms. They do watermelons grow ground or in a tree, and the farm worker would put, they grow in a tree, and they'd hire them as agricultural workers. And what do you think watermelon do? Trees. Impossible. I think a guest worker program is certainly something, great energy.
Should Bob Dole.
Left off. That was a long question. I have no idea, but important to election effort.
facility.
But it will be a thoughtful, thoughtful choice. Bob Dole will, he'll be ready. How old he is, gave the, well, I love this. Well, his speech after the State of the Union never got over that. And another thing that always gets me, who do you really believe sits in their home on a Sunday and waits for the return? I mean, in real life, that's not what people do. And New Hampshire people must just have a riot of a time, right? Thoughtful, articulate, ornery, and they just go to bed, chuckle, dragon stuffages. And I mean, it's all, it's a Washington, everybody just pumping old Bob Dole, and why shouldn't they? And do you think it would be any different than that? That organization and those. And so it's going to be quite a race, but Bob Dole versus Bill Clinton. And then you see, you don't really care how old Bob Dole is or whether he gave a good speech at the State of the Union. He likes campaigning. The issue is, you want Bob Dole or Bill Clinton? And once you clean out the fog of the 20% of the people that voted for Ross Perot, I'll tell you, old Bob Dole is likely to be right there.
A mug, Washington, place looks, and as or Bob Dole.
I do not know Al Franken, and I must say, Darren mentioned the name. Now, but Mark Russell, I do know. They are, to me, you want to pick the greatest professional humorist, Mark Russell. Without question, and if you want to pick the finest man of humor in politics, that's Bob Dole. A difference between a lot of difference. My mother taught me that humor is the universal solvent against elements of life. So anyway, sis, and Bob, thanks for taking time to by. I appreciate it, and we'll drive him crazy. And all of you, and Don, and yes.
Your senator. Thank you to our fine staff who put luncheon and things.
Take that, right?
Yeah, we.